It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Film lovers, welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Working the board, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello. I ate a bunch of fudge.
Fudge?
Fudge, peanut butter fudge.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Christina, for the peanut butter fudge.
Thank you.
That was yummy. And sitting in with us, Brian Pierce of the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival.
Yes, long name.
Long name. Me too, man. Thank you for coming out.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
You're wearing, striking the orange.
Oh, yes.
Is that the official color of the fest?
It was the official shirt from last year. We are a benefit for the National Kidney Foundation of Indiana, mm-hmm. and their official color is orange, so we kind of tie in with them as best we can.
And there's brown tones, and we're not going to talk about that.
No, that's just because it's been worn too much.
Wow, let's move on. We'll get to him in just a little bit. Lots of stuff going on around town. Lots of movies opening. Of course, the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival is this weekend, as is the Indianapolis LGBT Film Festival going on. But opening in theaters, besides Denzel's Train movie that's unstoppable with the young Captain Kirk, instructed by Tony Scott, also opening in theaters is the comedy Morning Glory, which stars Rachel McAdams as a young producer working her way from New Jersey morning television to New York City morning television with two reporters who don't like each other. That's, of course, Diane Keaton and Harrison Ford. And Patrick Wilson is the producer of Many Women's Dreams. Don't you wish all TV male producers look like Patrick Wilson? Shut up, Kobe. No comment. I know. Here's the trailer.
Did you get a job yet?
No, but I have feelers out. Lots.
So you're a fan of our morning program?
So many.
Yeah, we know it's terrible.
Coming up tomorrow, we'll show you what to do with those shampoo bottles with just an inch of shampoo left. Huh.
Daybreak's understaffed, underfunded. Any producer who works there will be publicly ridiculed, overworked, on the pay. Awful.
I'll take it. I'd like to offer you the position of co-host of Daybreak.
After the career that I've had.
Is he gonna cook? Is he gonna do fashion segments and gossip?
Not my thing.
You happen to be a pretentious, fatuous idiot.
A fatuous idiot who makes three times what you make.
So now is an excellent time for you to take up drinking.
What's going on now?
Mike is offended by a word in the next story.
It's about Easter chicks.
I'm not saying the word fluffy. Interesting. Jerry hired you. No polish. Those bangs.
Suppose I don't have standards?
Sure you do. When you got your pep smear on air, you wore a silk robe.
Okay!
Classy touch.
It wasn't that bad.
How reliable is your alarm clock?
You want to make the ratings worse? That's why you came here?
I'm not giving up.
Try not to bore the nation into a coma with your dominance crap.
Suck it.
Mike! No one can do their jobs around here well, because you can't be bothered to do yours at all!
And we're back.
Welcome back to Daybreak.
It's only my job. It's not my whole life, right?
You're worse than I am. I was never at home. When I was, I took every phone call, watching TV out of the corner of my eye. Let me tell you how it all turns out. You end up with nothing, which is what I had till you give them all.
Take what you want, feel my mind, you'll be up for coming.
That's a little. That's wrong. Do it again.
Kobe, you had a stunned look on your face as you were watching that. You all right?
Yeah.
Just checking.
Okay.
Just checking. Yeah, the wacky backstage shenanigans, off-camera shenanigans of television that sometimes occasionally pops up. All right, there's three stories going on in this. Fortunately, I will give the film credit, it is not 2 hours of Harrison Ford and Diane Keaton crabbing at each other. Oh, by the way, Harrison Ford plays another crabby old man, and he already works around the clock. Bet you he smiles by the end of the last 10 minutes. I'm just saying. But no, there's three stories really. The main thing is the Rachel McAdams character who is trying to work her way up the ladder, and then you know dealing with all the hustle and bustle of New York morning television, as well as trying to get her career and her life going in the right direction. There's that. There is a little bit of broadcast news / network, which you should be watching very soon.
That's in the plans this week.
That's your weekend plans.
Yep.
Very good.
Part of.
But there's the argument between what is news and what is entertainment. Guess what, folks? In case you didn't realize, entertainment won, unless this morning edition, which you can hear here on WFYI. But I'm talking about television and. And then, of course, there's the adversary between Rachel McAdams and grumpy Harrison Ford. And I like Rachel McAdams as an actress. I know if Mike Perry were here, he'd be jumping up and down and cheering for that sentiment.
I like Rachel McAdams.
I do, too. But yep. I actually like her acting, too, Kobe. Because she has been known to be able to carry most, if not all, of a picture. I really enjoyed her in Red Eye. And even though her storyline in The Notebook, the young person part was not nearly as interesting as the old person part. Still a pretty good performance, but everything she's done has been pretty good. Nothing too embarrassing. And as she gets to do a little bit of physical comedy, and there's some decent bantering with her and Patrick Wilson, the producer of Many Women's Dreams, and Diane Keaton, at least, well, she's a shrill in this, but she's not irritating or neurotic like she has been in the last 5 years. If you look at her post, something's got to give work. Yes?
Oh, no.
Your mouth's wide open. See, I read signals from you about that, so. Do we have company next door?
Somebody.
Are they my guest?
No.
No?
It's Eric.
Oh, okay. Can we move on now?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right, thank you. So don't go in expecting broadcast news, which, by the way, is going to be put out on the Criterion DVD and Blu-ray collection, I believe, in January. That is a must-buy, unless they send it to me. And don't go in expecting Network, which is still the most brilliant film about television ever made, period. 35 years later, still packs a wallop. No pressure, Kobe. So,
he's right.
Thank you.
It is a darn good film. Okay.
Excellent film.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think I was kind to this film compared to some of my colleagues. Hello, Ed Johnson Ott at Nuvo. Fun write-up in the paper this week. But so there it is. It's very lightweight, and it's okay that way.
I think it's overrated.
Shut up, you!
There's other films out there. You know that. Also opening in theaters today is a film from Israel called Lebanon, and it's about the June 1982, first Lebanon War, and four members of an Israeli tank crew go out on a mission, and guess what? Gets ugly real quick.
Thank you. Andy Pacenta. Pesh, Woody, Pesh!
שאלות.
יש לי שאלה. יש אפשרות שמישהו, אני לא יודע מי, אולי מקורנליה, יוכל להתקשר להורים שלי ולהגיד להם שאני בסדר?
שלילי.
אם זה מסוכן?
למצב הזה קוראים מלחמה. מלחמה בדרך כלל זה מצב מסוכן.
The plight of a film critic, folks. When we go see films and we're taking notes, yes, I do take notes from time to time. We try to find things that, you know, we pepper you with as far as little pithy things and maybe comparisons, what have you. And no, I'm sadly not the first person to call this the Das Boot of tank films, and that's a shame. It's a great analogy, because it is. Four guys in a tank. And especially what's really, really effective is the guy who has to look through, not the periscope, I'm not sure of the exact technical term for you tank rats out there, but he has to, all he has is a little circle with a cross in the center, and that's his point of view. And what he sees out of that several times in the film is extremely powerful. Now, the other reason why it's been compared to Das Boot is we get to see war from a different, not really a different point of view. It's from the same point of view, just different people. And I think that was a big deal for Das Boot, the fact that the heroes in that film were Germans in World War II. And this time, and of course, you know, the Lebanon-Israeli conflict, that's, we don't have enough time for that as far as discussion. But some of the stuff that is seen through a viewfinder, that would be a different movie. It's really unsettling as far as what happens during the Dogs of War. So it's extremely effective. It's not as long as Das Boot. It's about 90 minutes. But I would say after seeing and experiencing the Hurt Locker last year, I was ready to take a break from war pictures for a while, especially the ones that had been coming out before Hurt Locker and a couple that happened after. Yes, war is bad and the American government is corrupt. We got it. Move on. What else you got for me? Well, we have Lebanon. So hopefully it'll last more than a week here in Indianapolis. Go give it a chance. Of course, after you go to one of the two festivals happening in Indianapolis this weekend and you need a break. You need something to cleanse your palate, like a Israeli war film. So, very powerful, very effective. Go check it out.
Yes, 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 yes!
Speaking of downers, this was something that's even... Why you... It's true. This is my segue. You mock me. But it's a documentary, Inside Job, not Inside Man, not the Denzel crime movie, although this is a bank heist of a different kind. It's a documentary about the financial collapse that happened here recently, and guess what? It's not over. And it's from the director, Charles Ferguson, who gave us the documentary with the appropriately titled No End in Sight.
Share prices continued to tumble.
Lehman Brothers was forced to declare itself bankrupt.
The largest single point drop.
The regulators, they had the power to do every case that I made when I was state attorney general. They just didn't want it.
We are watching this tsunami coming.
They were having massive private gains at public loss.
A financial engineer built dreams. When those dreams turn out to be nightmares, other people pay for it.
Bear Stearns, Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, they knew what was happening.
What do you think about selling securities which your own people think are crap? Does that bother you?
As a hypothetical?
No, this is real.
What do you think of Wall Street incomes these days?
Excessive.
By 1986, he was making millions of dollars and thought it was because he was smart.
Chuck Prince famously said, "We have to dance until the music stops." Actually, music had stopped already when he said that.
At some point, I used the word Armageddon.
These people are risk takers, they're impulsive. I see a lot of cocaine use, prostitution.
So did these guys know that they were doing something dangerous?
I think they did.
I don't hear confessions.
What can we believe in? There's nothing we can trust anymore.
We had a whole group of people looking at this for whatever
reason.
Excuse
me, you can't be serious. If you would have looked, you would have found things.
It's a Wall Street government.
Why do you think there isn't a more systematic investigation being undertaken?
Because then you'll find the culprits.
I don't believe I have to discuss that with you.
You come to us today telling us we're sorry, we won't do it again. Trust us. Well, I have some people in my constituency that actually robbed some of your banks. And they say the same thing.
I never heard him mention those things.
Could we turn this off for a second?
Yes. Matt Damon, by the way, also narrates this. This is a film, as I alluded to with Hurt Locker and the war films that came on after this, not the best of timing for me because for a couple reasons. One, this is kind of, I will give the film credit that it really goes into detail as far as how the real estate bust and the banking bust all happened and how the people who filled their pockets kind of got away scot-free for the most part, even before standing in front of Congress and saying, oops, or we're sorry, we won't do it again. The problem is, one, it's kind of a tell us something we don't know. I mean, it did show us through a lot of narration from Matt Damon and a lot of graphics on how junk was basically bought and sold and pocketed as far as the riches. But it is partially tell me something I don't know. And guess what? Michael Moore already covered this material for the most part in Capitalism, A Love Story. Now, for those who don't like Michael Moore and want to punch him in the face just by his mere presence or his style of filmmaking, then, yeah, you can go see this one. Moore branches out a little bit and shows some of the, more of the victims, people that are getting bumped out of their houses and people who can't afford this or can't afford that. This one is primarily on the thieves themselves. So if there's still a part of me that likes to see some of these people twist in the wind. Yeah, there's a few squirm-inducing interviews and a lot of people who declined to be interviewed for this motion picture. You can find a list of it on the film's website. It's fun. But I'd say go see this at a matinee because, well, it's cheaper that way. And don't buy popcorn. But,
now that was a good movie.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we are going to talk about what is on DVD and Blu-ray, and then we'll talk with Brian Pierce of the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. This show is also available as a podcast, say Monday about lunchtime, unless you're just getting it right now at lunchtime on Monday. Hello. And the show is also available through iTunes. Kobe Slagle behind the board. Brian Pierce of the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival, which opens tonight, correct?
We have our kickoff party tonight and first film screens tomorrow at 10 a.m.
There you go. So, and the website?
It's wetyourpantsfilmfest.org.
And you can check this website at work. It's okay.
Yes.
It's safe.
Yes.
Unlike one of the articles that was in The Onion this week, with you saw that image, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't talk about that. Can't quote it. Can't do it. All right, moving on to films that are on DVD and Blu-ray this week. A film that a lot of people, well, a lot of the press, I should say, had high expectations for, and for the most part enjoyed it, except the rest of the world didn't really go out and see it. Especially for, maybe its core audience saw it, and that was it. The film is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And it also opened the same weekend as The Expendables. So I guess the knuckle draggers beat out over the hipster D-bags. And it stars Michael Cera, not Kobe's favorite, but he's good in this one, as a Toronto musician who's met the girl of his dreams, but he has to go through all seven boyfriends in a battle of video game-style epic proportions.
Hey, what's up?
If we're gonna date, you may have to defeat my seven evil exes. You have seven evil ex-boyfriends?
Bingo. Consider our fight begun.
And I have to fight defeat. Defeat your seven evil exes?
Pretty much.
Prepare to die.
What?
What's up? How's life? He seems nice.
I want to take them apart. We all have baggage.
Yeah, well, my baggage doesn't try and kill me every 5 minutes.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Next time, we don't date the girl with 11 evil ex-boyfriends.
Seven.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Most notably, Jason Schwartzman saves the best for last as the last of the evil boyfriends. Anna Kendrick, we love when she's not in Twilight, is the sister. And a Culkin shows up in this picture. It's directed by the gentleman, of course, Edgar Wright, who gave us Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, two very, very enjoyable films. And he continues on this one. I know it's based on a graphic novel, which I haven't read because I review films, not graphic novels. You've heard film critics like the doughy old white people, and yours truly, about how sometimes...
You're not doughy.
Thank you. That's nice of you to say. You're not even named Lynn. But the number of films that turn into video games, most notably films with Bruckheimer and Bay connected to them, among others. But this is a film that actually is played like a video game, and it works. I mean, it goes beyond, above and beyond the video game aspect. Even from the very beginning, those who are old-time video game fans will recognize an 80s home video, almost Atari version of the Universal logo. And it doesn't let up from there. I mean, when guys get killed, coins fly in the air and land on the ground. That's how ridiculous it is. You were alluding to off-air about, you asked how this was compared to Kick-Ass. I think it's even sillier because of the video game aspect. Kick-Ass and Machete and The Expendables and even Red, which are four films I've highly praised this year, is because they know exactly what they're working on. They know they're being a ridiculous action film. And this film obviously knows it's being a video game. Sarah is not is not as stammery and stuttery and is not Woody Allen's grandson in this one compared to his previous work, which I know makes some people breathe a sigh of relief. You know, and pretty good music, and it's stuff I wouldn't even, well, I can't play it on the Blues House Party, but it's still fun to watch anyway. So there's battles with bands and swords and feet and, yeah, just it's a whole lot of fun. And hopefully the film will get a second life on DVD and Blu-ray, hint, hint, to some of you. Yeah, it's fun, and it's one of those. It's a shame that it didn't do well, because box office receipts shouldn't really reflect the quality of work. Because, well, the next film I'm going to talk about is going to be the exact opposite of what I'm talking about right now. So, go rent it or go buy it, because there's a lot of goodies on it. There's plenty that will maybe last you for the weekend. Not this weekend, because you have film festivals to go to. But you could buy it and watch it next weekend. Go get it.
Yes, 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 yes!
Speaking of a film that made a lot of money but has no real quality to it, it's the latest from Adam Sandler called Grown Ups with Kevin James and Chris Rock and Rob Schneider and all the other friends that Adam has, and they get to spend the weekend.
Is David Spade in it?
Yes, David Spade's in it as well. All the people that lay on the couch at Happy Madison Productions. That's his production company. Old friends getting together for the funeral of their basketball coach, and it just keeps going from there.
In 1978, they were the best of friends.
Everybody's a championship.
Now they're getting back together for the first time in over 30 years.
Remember the guy I always tell you about, Rob?
Of course. Oh, and this must be your mother.
My wife.
I'm sorry.
I'm not. Oh, Grody.
From Columbia Pictures, they're meeting each other's families.
Look at this!
Wow!
Ooh, a porch swing! I know what I'm doing this weekend!
Yeah!
Learning about their kids.
Mommy, I want some milk.
Come here, give me a little something.
Your son is so cute. How old is he?
48 months. That's four. Yeah.
And showing them how it's done.
That's it, no more video games! No more cell phones from now on. Stay outside and play.
What are we supposed to do?
You see a rope and a lake and that doesn't make you want to go nuts?
Class is in session.
Go get it!
Whee! Too high! This was a mistake!
Let go! I can't let go! I'm too scared!
Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Chris Rock, David Spade, Rob Schneider, and Salma Hayek.
What do you want to do today? Anything.
What was your favorite thing to do when you were 12?
Ooh, well, I can't do that.
On June 25th.
Dad, are you making a sissy? You know they put a chemical in the pool that turns urine blue.
No, it's an old wives' tale, sweetie.
Oh, my God!
Grown-ups.
Well, they had fun. Yeah.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
No, I did not. And by the way, I've actually recommended Sandler films on the show. So there, get off my case. No, this what turns out early on to be what I thought was going to be an obnoxious version of The Big Chill, everybody getting together for a funeral and taking a look at where they are in their lives. Apparently, they just like to stay out on the lake and film. The film took a damn break to go to a water park that had nothing to do with moving the story along. So it's not funny for me, and also lazy, just lazy. If you want to put it on the second disc of your two-disc special edition of you guys running around and going to a water park and playing basketball, and there's a lot of scenes with just all of the male leads riffing, and I'm sure there's at least 30, 45 minutes extra of that, and they kept the best of it. That's fine. But really, got well. Of course, they got it because enough Sandler fans are going to go out and check this out. Now, Brian, you got to see this in theaters. What did you think?
I thought it was humorous, but
when
not really. I didn't think there was much as far as quality film production. Not really much redeeming value to it. But if you can turn off the critic in your head a little bit, it was you can get some enjoyment out of it.
Like Adam Sandler being married to Salma Hayek. Like Kevin James being married to Maria Bello. Like Maya Rudolph.
Or just
Rudolph.
How disgusting Rob Schneider was in yet another movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, he's available.
Yeah. Know.
And Maya Rudolph being pregnant by Chris Rock. I know. But yeah, there's a lot of people from Sandler's films. Yeah, you mentioned there, Steve Buscemi pops up and Colin Quinn and Joyce Van Patten apparently is now a member of the Adam Sandler Playhouse. Bully for her.
Tim Meadows.
Yeah, Tim Meadows is in this as well. And And it's just, it didn't feel like a film. It just felt like home movies, and that's not a compliment. And by the way, not giving too much away, I guess I don't want to ruin the spoiler or everything, but teaching your kids a life lesson by throwing a basketball game, that's a big pile of crap.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because they're all together.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Stay together. Don't be Al Green, but just stay together.
Oh, the Reverend.
Yeah. I don't know how you feel about this film either. Here's what I think of this film.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No!
Okay, also on DVD and Blu-ray this week, you recognize that, don't you?
I probably got a kick out of that.
Oh, it just went on and on.
Sir Ben, you can go on anytime he wants, really. DVD and Blu-ray this week, the Criterion Collection, one of the more uncomfortable films that came out in 2009, one of the more uncomfortable films I got the experience in recent memory, the Lars von Trier film Antichrist, with Willem Dafoe and Charlotte Gainsbourg as a couple who lose their child through an terrible accident, and the rehabilitation and dealing with the loss that they have to go through. But because it's Lars von Trier, it's not going to be pretty. It's uglier than Lebanon. And I'll say there's a few moments that that even yours truly had to watch it through fingers.
Mm.
Yeah. Especially a part involving a man's ankles and a man's other area that really squirm inducing. And I've been a defender of Lars von Trier's work. I enjoyed Breaking the Waves and Dogville and even Dancer in the Dark as well, and even Mandalay. I didn't get this one, and maybe I should read up more on it a little bit and figure out what's the point of this really grotesque rehabilitation film. But no, I didn't give it. But I have to give credit to Willem Dafoe and Charlotte Gainsbourg, who are two absolutely fearless performers, especially her, to go through what they go through in this film. I know I'm hyping this up like it's Saw 7. It's way better than that, but still really uncomfortable to watch. And I don't think it was a great film, but I don't know if I could sit through it a second time. I know we've talked on the show before about excellent films that you can't watch a second time. And I know on the Onion list they had, I think, Dancer in the Dark and Breaking the Waves on that list. So now, if you have the money, and by the way, holiday season is here. It's upon us. Thanksgiving's next, though. Yes, sir?
Oh, no.
I thought you were going to chime in.
I thought I was, too, but no. Keep going.
All right, I will. But the 18-disc box set, the Elia Kazan Collection. And I think we had Elia Kazan on American Masters on PBS recently on Channel 20. But it's an 18-disc, including a new Martin Scorsese documentary, A Letter to Elia, as well as, these are some films I might have to add to your account, Mr. Slagle, On the Waterfront, A Face in the Crowd, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, Viva Zapata, America, America, Wild River, Man on a Tightrope, Streetcar Named Desire, Gentleman's Agreement, Boomerang, Panic in the Streets, Pinky, East of Eden, Baby Doll, and Splendor in the Grass. So you can see young versions of Marlon Brando, Carl Malden, Warren Beatty, Andy Griffith in a non-comedic performance. Best thing he's ever done. Sorry, Scott Hoke. Sorry, Andy Griffith Show. Best thing Griffith's ever done. On a Waterfront's just a masterpiece. And
film.
Yeah. And I know some people have issues with Mr. Kazan. I don't. It's a great. There's a number of great films. Some obviously better than others. I think On the Waterfront, Facing the Crowd, Gentleman's Agreement, Streetcar, probably the best of the lot. I actually really, really enjoyed Panic in the Streets as well, which is a little piece of film noir with Jack Palance and Richard Widmark. Any of these wet your whistle, Brian?
Really loved On the Waterfront. I mean, that's one of my favorite films. So if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. That's a box set that I'm drooling over now.
I know.
Now that I know it's coming out.
It's also very expensive. okay, also on DVD this week, Charlie St. Cloud with Zac Efron. I'm male and too old to watch that, and Emma didn't want to, so, you know, it's out there.
Score
what?
Well, you missed it.
Yeah, I missed it. Oh, well, I mean, and this is another example of he trying to move on from his little Disney blanket or tent. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm not the right person to watch that, and that's really okay.
Is anybody the right person to watch Zac Efron?
Apparently Tween Girls And there's nobody here that fits that qualification.
That's
nope. True. No. A film called Knucklehead. I just like saying Knucklehead, as do you. And Ramona and Beezus, which the kids' film correspondent I know enjoyed and wants me to buy it. You know, birthday already happened. Christmas is coming up. All right.
So that got two thumbs up from my daughter and my wife.
You can't give thumbs. You have to give Roger Ebert money then. So you're going to have to talk to your family. All right. Wow. Yes, right. I just verbally battled my guests' loved ones. All right. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk with Brian Pierce. We're going to pay tribute to an actress and a producer whose work I grew up watching. And then we'll have an update. I guess, did we talk about these films last week or no? Or you just returned to these movies?
No, we didn't talk about those because I hadn't seen those.
Okay, so we'll have an updated
update
of what is Kobe watching. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We're not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Welcome, Brian Pierce. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Brian Pierce is here with the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival. We'll get to him in just a second. We got to plug the other festival, Fair is Fair. The Indianapolis LGBT is happening this weekend. It starts tonight and runs through Sunday at the IMA and IUPUI Campus Center. You can go to IndyLGBTFilmFest.com for more information. Brian, tell us about first one, right? Not first annual.
It's the second one.
Second annual. I stand corrected.
Yes.
Tell us about the Wet Your Pants Comedy Film Festival.
Well, we started last year. We're a fundraiser for the National Kidney Foundation. We actually started in memory of my brother, who was a kidney patient. He was basically the clown of the family. And when he passed away, we decided we wanted to do something in memory of him. And last year put it together in about 7 weeks, which is insane.
Yes, it is.
And we screened 15 films last year, and we're able to raise about $2,000 for the Kidney Foundation. So this year our goal is much, much higher, somewhere around $8,000 to $10,000 is what we'd like to raise. But we're going to be showing 27 films at the Indianapolis Arts Center starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. And we have 8 blocks total, 6 features and 21 shorts.
Now, how many submissions did you get this year?
We received 47 submissions from all around the U.S. and I think we got about 7 or 8 different countries we received stuff from.
Wow.
Overseas. So.
And how many filmmakers will be visiting?
I believe there's 10 or 11 of the 27 films will have filmmakers there as well.
And how many local?
We've got, I believe 4 local filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
3 of them participated in the 48-hour film project this past year, and their films are showing. It's Cool Beans, Mail Order Bride, and
Post-Apocalyptic Zombie Shotgun Madness, which is the longest title I've...
I'm sorry, how'd that go again?
Post-Apocalyptic Zombie Shotgun Madness. It's part of our zombie block. We have two zombie comedies.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now, those don't come along too often, except if it's Zombieland, but or Shaun of the Dead. No, tell us about these two.
The Post-Apocalyptic Zombie Shotgun Madness.
We can say that five times fast.
Yes, that's going to be tough. It's a film made by James Panaghetti. He's a local filmmaker. It was done for the 48-hour film project, so it's only about 6.5-7 minutes long, and was shot and edited and written in 48 hours, so that's the nice little pull of that. And it's going to play right before My Bloody Wedding, which was done by Morgan Mead. Morgan is probably best known for My Name is Jerry.
My Name is Jerry, yes.
Which he did with Ball State.
I'm sorry, the Ball State University.
Okay.
Why? What are you looking at me like that? It sounds silly, doesn't it, when it's from the school in Columbus, Ohio, right?
Yeah, see, I...
That's what I thought.
Never mind.
But,
guessed.
he also has a documentary called The Alpha and the Mega about mega churches. And I think...
Ted Haggard's not available for comment.
Moment, but, yeah, so My Bloody Wedding is actually about a young man who is... getting ready to marry the woman of his dreams, and she suddenly starts eating his friends and family. So,
hey, when that happens,
it's extremely campy, but it's supposed to be campy. It's kind of like the Grindhouse films, you know, in that they were supposed to be kind of
right.
The look he accomplished the look 100%. So, and that was actually produced here locally as well.
Okay, so what are some of the other ones that that folks should go look out for? Yes, I know we can't mention every single, unless you can. I'd be impressed if you did.
I could probably name them all, but not go into detail for each one.
Oh, just give us a few choice details on some.
One of my favorites is Boy Band. It's playing Saturday night at 8:30, and it is about a high school star quarterback who quits the team to turn his heavy metal band into the first boy band ever. It takes place back in 1982.
Oh, I was about to say, whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, it's a period piece, but it stars Michael Copan, who was a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. I believe he was the White Ranger.
What?
Yes.
You heard him. Did he stutter?
Also has Ming-Na of The Voice of Mulan.
Yes.
And his name's blanking me at the moment, but the guy who played Rob Lowe's assistant in Wayne's World.
Okay.
His name is right there, and it's just...
It's okay.
Unfortunately, blanking me.
That's all right.
That is playing on Saturday night. It's a really good film. Really, really funny.
Boy Band. Oh, yes. Man.
And that actually has a German film that plays right before it about two elderly ladies racing to get to a bench next to a nice little lake that's actually quite funny.
Okay.
On Sunday night, our last block is at 3 o'clock on Sunday, and that features The Newest Pledge, which you were playing some clips from Clerks earlier, and Jason Mewes of Jay and Silent Bob.
He's not coming to town, is he?
I don't think he's.
I don't think he's allowed. I don't think he's allowed in Indiana.
I know there's two people coming from that film to represent it.
Okay,
but he actually is probably his most mature role ever. He plays a professor.
In
The Pledge. They never really go into detail of what he's a professor of, but the story focuses on a frat house who. The morning after the biggest party of the year, they find a baby on their doorstep and turn it into the newest pledge of the fraternity.
But not a tiger or Mike Tyson.
No,
that's all right.
But it's a pretty good film. We enjoyed it quite a bit, and it's always nice, you know, having some of the bigger name talents like Jason Mewes.
It's all right. Yeah. Hey, no, it's cool, especially if they come to town. So
yes,
it's a nice stamp when you can get filmmakers of any caliber, of any size, to come out and make the travel for the film festival. So,
and personally, my two favorite blocks are going to be, we have two blocks of nothing but shorts. The one at 3 o'clock on Saturday is all international shorts.
Mm-hmm.
We have three from Spain that are playing in that block, two from Israel and one from England. The two from Israel, one of them is called Israeli Intelligence, and it's about a Mossad agent. Who is kind of done in the vein of Airplane and Naked Gun. And each time I watch it, it gets funnier and funnier. And according to the press materials we got from them, it has basically become the Rocky Horror of Israel.
Oh, I like that.
It screens every month at a theater in Israel, and there are people who show up in costume, stuff
Sweet.
Like that. So, and the other Israeli film is called Kasamba. It's a romantic comedy about a young man and his roommate who figure out how to order Kassam rocket attacks so that he can meet this girl that he met during a rocket attack warning in a bomb shelter. So he figures out how to have fake rocket attacks ordered just so he can meet this girl again.
That's a lot of effort.
Yeah. Yes.
That's worse than Scott Pilgrim ordering something on Amazon so the girl will show up and deliver it. And he's sitting at the door waiting. Go on.
Yes, that's true. And then the second block of shorts is actually on Sunday at 12:30, and they're all domestic shorts. That's where we have the Cool Beans and Mail Order Bride, which are two of the 48-hour films from this year for Indianapolis. And then another one of my favorites, Heels to the Pavement. It's a film from Nebraska, and it is a mockumentary about power walking.
Oh.
You heard me correctly.
A lot of malls and aggressive old people.
Actually, most of it is outside, and it builds up to a yearly race in Kennard, Nebraska. And
intense.
Yes, and it's quite funny. I thoroughly enjoyed that one. That was one of my personal favorites. So,
yes, and then you watched the Cary Grant film Walk Don't Run, his last. Don't worry about that. So, plug the website.
Okay, the website is www.wetyourpantsfilmfest.org. Make sure you get the film fest
in
there.
Yes, please do. Why? Can you tell us what happens if you don't?
We'll just say when I was looking to find a home for the website that wetyourpants.com was
not
more of like an adult friend finder type site, which was not really something you really want to go to. So.
That's what we call a niche website. And,
yes.
You don't need
but,
that.
So we had to add the Film Fest in there.
Good
so
idea.
WetYourPantsFilmFest.org.
Since that is what you are, that would help. So, and remember, be careful when you're searching at work. I should know. But also the fact that what's cool about the festival is that the last few years, we've been, Indianapolis has been getting more and more film festivals with different aspects like the LGBT and you guys and Heartland and IIFF. So They're getting there. And it's an opportunity to see something new. Not everything has to open on 3,000 screens. Not everything has to be in 3D or based on a video game. Or, I'm sorry, shot in 2D and then made to look like it's 3D.
Oh.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten over Clash of the Titans. But no, opportunities to see some unknown material. So, bully for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, during this, have you been able to watch anything else, whether it's work-related or not, as far as other films?
It's between screening the films that the 47 films we got as submissions, and the fact that we have a 2-year-old or 4-year-old and 1-year-old, it's been kind of tough to get out to any other sort of theater.
I totally understand. I said, what are they making you watch every day for 2 months straight?
I'm trying to think what the most recent one has been. Actually, my 4-year-old loves The Wizard of Oz, so that's been
that
a
helps.
Bit, which
that's
is,
good.
Which is all right.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty.
Like the originals?
The Disney animated
films.
That's
still
film, so
okay.
It's still not too bad. She's actually pretty keen on some good films. So.
And okay, that's good. And then the 1-year-old, you know, how old's the 1-year-old? I mean,
she's
12 months?
16 months.
16 months, okay.
Yeah, so it's more just chasing her around.
Walking or...
Oh, yes, walking.
Oh, everything's
running.
Up. Oh, yeah. Running.
Running, walking, yeah.
Great, you have Ike from South Park now, just bouncing around. Well, cool. All right. Well, we need an update, so here we go.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
Now, I gave Mr. Slagle a couple of films last week and the week before, and we're catching up. We're getting there.
Yep. It's gonna happen.
It'll happen. Yep. So this week, because last week George Hickenlooper, the director who gave us Hearts of Darkness, a filmmaker's apocalypse, died 2 weeks ago, if I remember right, and it was just kind of odd timing that it showed up because you watched Apocalypse Now.
Yep.
And I said, as soon as you watch that, you have to watch Hearts of Darkness, which for me is not only one of my favorite all-time favorite documentaries, but for me, one of the greatest films about filmmaking. Mm. Mr. Slagle, what did you think of Hearts of Darkness?
Agreed. It was, I loved it. Way cool. Period.
A lot of bad stuff going on with that picture.
It was a mess.
and the fact that it turned out to be, for some, consider it a masterpiece. I think I would agree with them on that. One of the things that was fascinating with this film is, and this film got a lot of bad press while it was being made, but imagine the 24-hour news sources that we have today if this film was being made back then. So, yeah, that bully for that, for this film to be made. And it's also part of the reissue Blu-ray combination with the theatrical release of Hearts of Apocalypse Now, the 2001 Redux, and this documentary. So, well worth checking out. And then you watched your girl,
Foxy Brown.
Now you thought Shaft was slow paced. Did you think Foxy Brown was slow paced?
I did not think Foxy Brown was slow paced.
Or were you occupied by other things, like Ms. Greer?
I wish that Pam Greer would show up to my house and wreck my house in that blue outfit.
Maybe if you ask her cut nicely enough, she will. She'll do it for nothing. But we were talking earlier about the grindhouse films. This is one, a fine exploitation film if there ever was one, where she's avenging her brother's death and just plowing through thugs. Antonio Fargas is in this film as well, and takes a plane to a guy.
Oh, man.
But all the while,
I just forgot about that.
That's why I brought it up. All the while, you are absolutely smitten by Ms. Pam Greer, and that's.
Yep.
That's a pretty good place
to
be.
That is okay.
That is okay.
We're okay with that here on Film Sociology.
Oh, we are pro Pam Greer here at Film Sociology. It's on my business card. Now I know next, you still have Network. Now since we brought it up with Morning Glory, now you gotta watch it.
Yeah.
And then what else did I give you? gotta work on that. No, that's what I. I'll think of it again. It'll get out there.
You gave me Network and
something else from the set. Maybe it was this. I don't know.
No.
We'll get back to it. Well, and then of course, because next week should be our Oaken Bucket game.
It will be that, and you know what else is this time next? Well, after the show next Friday.
What?
We'll be invading Westfield.
Invading Westfield.
Tracy.
Oh, yes. We won't talk about that until next week. Yes, we have to make sure. Have we heard from Tracy? Is she doing all right?
She's doing okay.
Tracy Mitchell, if you're listening, hope you're feeling well.
Hi, Trace.
We'll be in touch. All right, guys, I need you to raise your glasses. A couple of people, one fine actress and a fine producer in all sorts of ways left us recently this week. Actress Jill Clayburgh died recently. Two-time Academy Award nominee. And as Roger Ebert eloquently wrote in the Sun-Times webpage, not a feminist actress, just because she appeared in An Unmarried Woman and Starting Over, which were the two films she received Oscar nominations for. Notably known for the 1972 film Portnoy's Complaint, Thief Who Came to Dinner, The Terminal Man, which is one of the first Michael Crichton projects, Gable and Lombard, where she plays Carol Lombard to Clark Gable, played by James Brolin. Yeah, Mr. Streisand. This is from 1976. I actually own this. This is Get Drunk and Watch Bad. It's really bad. It's enjoyably bad, the way they fight at each other. Worse than Liz and Dick and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. And she makes him a gift. She knits a cover for a very favorite part of Clark Gable's body. Yes, it's that type of picture. Also did Silver Streak with the first teaming of Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. Semi-Tough, her first collaboration with Burt Reynolds and also with Kris Kristofferson. It was a screwball comedy set in 1970s pro football. And what's fun is this wasn't approved by the NFL, so they had to come up with all their own team names and funky clothes and all that stuff. Unmarried Woman, of course, she got the nomination for. Luna, Starting Over, which was her second nomination, where she, Burt Reynolds is a divorced man and he's still pining for his ex-wife, played by Candace Bergen, but he's also trying to move forward with a new relationship with a woman played by Jill Clayburgh. Both ladies got nominated. Burt didn't. Kind of a crime. I'll move on. Also did the film It's My Turn, first Monday in October. I'm Dancing as Fast as I Can. Fun, unintentionally fun film about pill addiction. Hannah Kay, Where Are the Children, Shy People, oh God, Whispers in the Dark, another pleasantly bad movie, Rich in Love, and so on and so forth. I know her last film was, oh, she was in Running with Scissors, and apparently the, yeah, she's got her, one of her last films was something that'll be coming out next month, Love and Other Drugs. That's the one with Anne Hathaway and Jake Gyllenhaal. And producer Dino De Laurentiis, besides giving us The Mother and Giada De Laurentiis, another person who we're pro for here at Film Sociology.
We're pro a lot of people.
I know we are. But he was 91 years old, directed films in Italy, and worked with people like Carlo Ponti, made films like Ulysses, was a part of the Academy Award-winning Fellini film Knights of Cabiria, Barabbas, and then eventually moved out here and actually set up De Laurentiis Studios in North Carolina. Also was a producer on the John Huston epic flop The Bible in the Beginning, did the Italian film The Witches, produced Anzio, produced Barbarella. I might need you to look at Barbarella, or at least Jane Fonda in Barbarella. A lot of these, because he kind of mixed it up between really interesting films and really big budget knuckleheaded films. Kobe, you're chomping at the bit, man.
You gave me The Wild Bunch.
That's right, I did give you The Wild Bunch. Thank you. So The Wild Bunch and Network, that's a good weekend right there.
Yeah.
He didn't produce either of those. He also did Waterloo, which had Rod Steiger as Napoleon, A Man Called Sledge, The Valachi Papers with Charles Bronson, Serpico, which is another fine film I should have you watch, directed by Sidney Lumet, starring Al Pacino, The First Death Wish, Mandingo, its sequel Drum, both are also Get Drunk and Watch Bad, 3 Days of the Condor, really cool 70s paranoid thriller, Lipstick, really bad rape revenge fantasy with Margot Hemingway, Robert Altman's Buffalo Bill and the Indians, the 70s version of King Kong with Rick Baker in a monkey suit and young Jessica Lange and bearded Jeff Bridges. Oh my gosh, The White Buffalo, Orca, because Jaws wasn't enough. He did a killer whale movie with Richard Harris, Charlotte Rampling, and a young Bo Derek. Fellini's The Serpent Egg, The Brink's Job, King of the Gypsies, Hurricane, bad disaster movie with Mia Farrell, Flash Gordon, the man produced Flash Gordon, and still not my favorite. Remember, Flash Gordon, quarterback for the New York Jets. Ragtime, Conan the Barbarian, Amityville 2, The Possession, Dead Zone, The Bounty, the one with Anthony Hopkins and Mel Gibson, Conan the Destroyer, yes, the one with Grace Jones, produced Dune, Cat's Eye, Silver Bullet, Maximum Overdrive, Manhunter, Tape Man.
Maximum Overdrive?
He produced Maximum Overdrive. King Kong Lives, Desperate Hours, Army of Darkness, Body of Evidence, thanks a lot for giving us that bad movie, Assassins, Breakdown, U-571, Hannibal Red Dragon, and Hannibal Rising. And he also produced Giada De Laurentiis' Mother. So Dino De Laurentiis, thank you for all of your good, bad, and weird movies and your beautiful family. So once more, Brian, plug the website, and then we'll have some words to live by.
It's www.wetyourpantsfilmfest.org.
Some words.
Silent breed is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
Brian Pierce, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you for having us.
And give my best to your family, even though I chewed them out.
That's all right.
On behalf of Kobe Slagle and Brian Pierce, I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Go to a festival. There's two going on in Indianapolis. They're worth checking out. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI, HD to the Point, and WFYI.org.